Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn. You're listening to the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Irish Fest is what I was about to say. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Thursday, the 14th day of August. And it's the first day of Irish Fest, which I believe is now in its 28th year. I've been to every single one of them. I'm getting up there in years, I guess. This year, Milwaukee's Irish Fest is going to be highlighting Galway, and all three of our guests who have just arrived from Ireland late last night are going to be performing and talking about Galway, which is considered to be the cultural area, the real Irish area of Ireland. There will be great entertainment at the festival, cultural exhibits that Ireland's West Coast will be offering. You'll have a chance to speak and listen to the Gaelic language, which is spoken widely on the West Coast of Ireland. We have three guests with us who are all from the West Coast. Joining us, Keith Finnegan, who is host of a daily current affairs program for Galway Bay FM Radio. He's also CEO of that radio station. Keith, welcome. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you for having us.
It's a great pleasure. We do this every year, and we always have so much fun. We also have Liz and Yvonne Kane with us. They're from a village in Connemara along the west coast of Ireland, have a musical tradition on both sides of the family. Their grandfather, fiddle player Jimmy Mullen, was a leading figure on the traditional music scene in Connemara for over 50 years, and they have an album, Under the Diamond, which has been praised as a must for anyone with the slightest interest in fiddle music, and they will be performing for us as well. Liz and Yvonne, you want to move a little, they have their fiddles blocking them from the microphone. Thank you both so much for
Thank
being
very
with
much.
Us.
Lovely to be
yeah,
here.
Yeah, really nice. So you all just arrived, didn't you? You got here when?
Last night, 19.
Oh, my gosh.
The girls have been touring.
Yeah, so we've been here a while.
They're well rested, so they are. But the rest of us, 90 of us, arrived in on the Aer Lingus flight last evening.
Oof.
And no jet lag yet, Kathleen.
But
No, not yet.
You're too excited.
Yeah, we're home, you see. Milwaukee is home to the Irish Bunch. We're 14 years coming now. To the Irish Festival. So Milwaukee is a second home.
I'm sure.
The MAC Uptown is our second home. And Irish Fest is just all our friends, really.
Uh-huh.
So we just come to meet them on an annual basis. And then when you get the likes of the Kane sisters, who are legends, by the way, at their age. Don't let age and beauty deceive you at all today. They're legends. So we have two legends, and we have many other legends as well who have travelled with us for Irish Fest. So we're home.
Yeah, wonderful. Welcome home. I feel that way when I go to Ireland and feel like I'm home again. So you're legends, huh? You want to move a little closer to the mic? Great. There you go.
I'll hold the fiddle for the mic.
Yeah. And you've been on tour where? Of the States or Europe or where?
Yeah, we've been here for the last 5 weeks. We started off teaching in the Catskills Irish Week in East Durham. And then we went on to Augusta in West Virginia to teach there. And then we've been gigging along the East Coast and finishing up here. We came from Illinois last night.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Yeah. Tell me about the tradition in your family. Your grandfather played and was very well known. You both started very young.
We started young, yeah. We started on the tin whistle and then moved on to the fiddle in national school. And we were taught by a woman called Mary Finn from Sligo. She moved to the area. And then our grandfather would have been a huge influence on our music, Jimmy Mullen. But our uncles played, and our other grandmother on the other side played accordion as well. So it was music in our house from the very start.
Mm-hmm.
There still is.
And you've been to Irish Fest before?
No.
This is it.
Yeah, we're very excited.
Oh, wonderful. You're going to have a great time.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. And you're going to have terrific weather for the first time in a long time. Every single day is going to be absolutely gorgeous.
Great. Oh, that's good news.
Yeah, yeah. Isn't that good news? Tell me about your radio program. I think you're probably on about the same time that we are.
Yeah,
in the morning?
We're on between 10 a.m. and 12 noon each and every day. And we'd be the biggest independent station in the country outside of the capital, Dublin. And it's going very well. I mean, we have a great young team. And we cover very similar to what you're doing yourself here today, but current affairs and what's happening and what's positive about Ireland. Because this year after coming back from there, and there's all talks of doom and gloom and economies going up and down and back and forth, but it's not affecting our generation and the girls' generation. It's affecting those that made a lot of money, and they got greedy, and they're not making as much as they wanted. But there is no real doom and gloom in Ireland, and it's very positive. I'm laughing when you say we have good weather, because we're after coming from the most dreadful weather.
Are you? We had great weather. I'm just back a week. It was beautiful.
Ireland is not known for sunshine, but it's known for rain. But I've never seen rain like it.
No.
But it's all very positive at home. But, you know, we're all very busy. Ireland is very busy. The program is very busy. Galway is a happening city. And for those that haven't been there, we would urge that they come down to Irish Fest, find out about it. listen to the music and come back then and just enjoy Galway. Galway and Milwaukee are very similar. You don't realise how similar. You've got the water, you've got the waterfront, you've got the music. And if I was to touch any city in the world, Irish people are known for their hospitality, but the Milwaukee people would be very similar to the Irish people.
Oh, what a nice thing to say.
They're a lovely, hospitable people. They're lovely. We had a gathering last night in the MAC and all the people there. It was just like being at home. They're just like Irish people. It's the one place in the world that you can come and you get the exact same hospitality that you get at home in Ireland. So if they want a bit of it, Galway can give it to them from there.
Yeah. And Galway has, as the West of Ireland has, much more of a reputation for being Gaelic speaking, for a lot more music. I think we toured all of Ireland just a couple weeks ago, and it had much more of a feel of a traditional Ireland to me.
Yeah, Galway is very traditional because it comes, I mean, where the girls, it's quite ironic, there would be a lot of the Gaeltacht, where the minister who's travelling with us as well, he'd be like one of your governors here, mm-hmm. Eamon O'Queeve, but there is, the Irish language is spoken both in the city and indeed in the county and along the west coast, and the Irish language is very important to us because that's where we came from, that's our culture. And it's still, and the Irish music and the Irish language go hand in hand together.
Mm-hmm. You know, I was amazed, though. I've been to Ireland 4 times. The last time had been 20 years previous, and I could not believe the new housing everywhere in Ireland. Please explain it to me, what the boom is all about, because I was in the middle of nowhere in Donegal, and there were new row houses absolutely everywhere all over the country.
I don't want to hug the conversation, but maybe the girls know more about hugging than I do.
But they're looking at your brother.
They're looking at me here. But the situation, that's who made the money, Kathleen. That's where the money, that's where the Celtic Tiger came from, because mm-hmm. the builders made the money, people bought the houses. Mm. And it's those people now that are not selling vast amount of homes. But there's houses everywhere.
There
absolutely.
Are, really.
I mean, mm-hmm.
even
Letterfrack where the girls are from.
It used to be a village, now it's a small little town.
It's a town, yeah. Yeah, but that's what's happening. But the cost of property, if you want to invest, Kathleen, in a nice little home in Galway, the cost of property has come down by about 20%. It was a reality check. Mm-hmm. And I always equate what's happening now at home to we all go every couple of years you go to your doctor for a checkup, but this is Ireland's checkup.
Yeah,
you know, we needed this reality check.
Exactly.
Am I right? Yeah,
absolutely.
You just needed this reality checkup. Now we've got the medication. We're on the antibiotics, and we're going to recover. But this
it
is
should
it.
Recover, yeah.
If we will
absolutely,
recover,
yeah.
But this is what's happening, and it needed to happen. No, but I mean, when you saw the vast amounts of money, where the girls are from, Letterfrack is a beautiful, picturesque area, and you'd have these Hummers and you'd have these big cars coming along. The roads aren't built for them.
Absolutely.
We know that.
Yeah.
We were driving on them.
We heard about your driving. Yeah.
Did it make your news program?
No. It actually made one of the TV channels. Yeah, said Kathleen's driving. Yeah, it's one thing we would urge people to be as careful when they're driving. There's been a terrible tragedy at home where some tourists, where the girls are from, actually in Letterfrack, and two tourists died. They just went off the road. They weren't used to the road. And two of them died. So we would urge, if you're driving in Ireland, take Kathleen's advice and just drive on the left-hand side.
Left-hand side,
yeah,
and be very careful.
Not the right-hand side coming out of the airport.
Yeah. Let's talk more about the Irish music tradition, because, of course, the country is known for music and for song and for poetry and literature and politics and so many things. Tell me more about the tradition in your family and how you decided to go this route of becoming musicians in your lifetimes.
I know, yeah. Well, music was always a part of our life, with our grandfather playing the fiddle, you know. So, we never questioned about not learning the fiddle. We were playing the fiddle, that was it, you know, because we loved him playing.
Mm-hmm.
And I suppose we just started off playing the whistle and went on to the fiddle. We started playing together. I studied music in Cork in college, in university. And then we lived with Sharon Shannon for a while. We ended up playing with Sharon and touring the world with Sharon Shannon and having a ball.
Yeah.
And then we went off and did our own thing, and we've been touring ever since. But we teach on a daily basis during the winter at home. We teach a lot of fiddle mm-hmm. students, and we play music all the time. It's part of our lives now. It's part of ourselves. It's our third hand.
Yeah. We didn't plan it, I suppose. It just happened.
Yeah,
it's
just natural progression, really.
And you must feel fortunate to be able to make a living doing that as well.
Very absolutely, so. Yeah. We love what we do, you know.
How do you select what you play? Tell me your repertoire.
Right, well, we've a very fond interest for a man called Paddy Fahey and his music, for the East Galway musicians in particular. Paddy Fahey's a great composer, and he's still with us, and a great fiddle player also. He's from Ballinasloe, Kilconnell, outside Ballinasloe. And we just love his music, the music of Ed Reavy also. and you know, and newly composed tunes as well, and the likes of Paddy O'Brien and different musicians that have written tunes that are, you know, new to us, but we love them. And I've written a couple of tunes myself.
Oh, you
so
have?
We might play a few of those for you today.
Oh, we'd love that.
Yeah.
Is the fiddle hard to play? It seems to me as though it's very hard. No, I would think so.
It is.
No, it isn't for you.
To be honest,
but
it is.
It is.
We know from teaching our kids, you know, and unless you practice, you can forget about the fiddle. Because you need to practice, as we dwell into their heads every day. I mean, it's not an easy instrument.
No.
You know, if you want to learn, if you want to learn it and learn it right, well, then you have to put in the work. Like, I mean, I suppose we did growing up, but we were kind of always reminded by our parents, well, you better go down and learn your tune, or else, you know, there's going to be war on Wednesday evening when you don't know your tune. And we would do it from the love of it, but yeah, it's not an easy instrument.
No.
I suggest you give Kathleen your fiddle.
No, thank you.
Why not?
Why don't
I don't think
give
so.
You are a fiddle.
A lot of people didn't know that I do a lot of fiddling around, yeah.
Do you play the fiddle?
I can't play a note.
You can't play a note.
No, I can't sing, can't dance.
No,
I can talk and I can produce radio programs and I can run a radio station, but no, I can't.
Talking is fine.
Yeah, but I actually think that the girls are wonderful and we have a wealth of talent with them. And they're so young, they have such a bright future ahead of them.
They sure do.
You know?
Will you play something for us and tell us what
Absolutely.
You're going to play?
And we might play, start with two jigs. Two jigs that I wrote a couple of years ago. The first one I called after our grandfather, Jimmy Mullen, called A Jig for Jimmy. And the second one I wrote for our grandmother, who's still alive. She's 92 and she lives in Clifton. And she's cooking and baking and knitting and giving out. And she's a brilliant woman altogether. So I called it Betsy's Delight. So two jigs for you.
Just wonderful. And you play together. Is that unusual for fiddlers? You play in unison?
Probably not. I suppose people say because we're siblings, like, and we've grown up together and learned together, you know, it's probably not that common. You know,
mm-hmm.
We seem to do it.
Mm-hmm. And does that make it easier to play because you know each other fairly well? Does that make a difference, do you think, in the music you play?
It does, yeah. You can hear that in a lot of musicians who are sisters and brothers or sisters or, you know, brothers playing together. Uh-huh. You can definitely tell who's related, I find, anyway. Yeah. You know.
Yeah.
Our parents play with kids.
There's never what?
Never a row.
No.
Never a row. No, there isn't, no. Well, never a row. But they were talking earlier on, Catherine, about the East Galway influence, which is a huge influence on Irish tradition, the whole Irish music scene. But there's the Fahey family.
That's right, yeah.
Have travelled with us, and they're doing a show called Trad on the Prom in Galway right through the summer. And if they're in, if you're going to Irish Fest, put Trad on the Prom down, mark it when you get in. Because again, there's a wealth of talent of music similar to what the girls are playing. And also there's dancing, the likes of which Milwaukee has never ever seen. And it's a husband and wife, Chris Kelly and his wife Maureen Fahey. And indeed the Fahey family are there. And there's Illan pipes and there's fiddle and there's dancing.
Brilliant.
And Bowron playing. It is classed all East Galway. But again, if they're marked Trad on the Prom, it's this year for Irish Fest is, I think, one of the most spectacular. It's the largest ever gathering of musicians from the west of Ireland.
Is it really?
That has ever left the west of Ireland.
Oh.
Never, ever left the west of Ireland. So, and they're in Milwaukee. And I have never, if you were to go to see the girls or to see Trad on the Prom or otherwise, and with the host of entertainment that Irish Fest have taken from the west to here, I was reckoning last night, speaking to somebody, you'd be spending about $350 if you went to see them individually, if they were performing, say, in Milwaukee here, and you get it all for the bargain basement price of whatever the admittance fee is, the $16 or $18. It is huge entertainment, huge investment by Galway City, Galway County, Udros na Gaeltachta, and indeed Rinn na Gaeltachta, and the Minister Eamon O'Queeve's office as well. It's amazing, absolutely. And I am not doing this because I get nothing out of tourism coming back to the radio station. I'm just saying that from a Milwaukee point of view and a West of Ireland point of view, this is the best ever.
Yeah, it's you got to be there.
And I'm not Irish blast. I don't do that Irish blast and winding people up and telling lies. And I'm not pulling anybody's leg here. This is huge. And what Jane Anderson and Ed Ward and Chuck Ward and the rest of the team have done this year for Irish Fest is absolutely amazing.
Yeah, it's not to be missed.
No.
Nor is the Galway. We went to the Galway Arts Festival when we were there, and it was just wonderful. All this theater all over the place. We saw some plays. We saw Joni Mitchell's photography exhibit. Yes. It was wonderful.
We actually have the artistic director Paul Fahey with us. And again, you see, this is the feast, but I didn't want to hog the airwaves here. But there's
we waited around for it.
There's a fabulous arts festival art exhibition, which is down in the cultural area. Not alone is the exhibition here, but they've actually sent out their own people. Dolores Lyon and Paul Fahey have come to hang the exhibition so that it's done the way it was hung in Galway for the Arts Festival.
Ah.
That's here. And Paul is here. And also, if we have any John Denver fans out there, a young man called Mark Roberts, he's from County Mayo, living in Galway all for the last 15 years. He does a tribute to John Denver. Don't know, do you know Ed Ward very well from Irish Fest, but when we showcased this for Ed in Galway, Ed shed a tear. He is so good. He's so brilliant. It's something else to notch in to the programme. But the Arts Festival is playing a huge, huge, huge role this year here. And we're hoping that those who have some talent here in Milwaukee might just come down and give their portfolio. And there may be something that the Arts Festival could work with over the next couple of days and indeed bring to the Arts Festival next year from Milwaukee.
Great. We're going to welcome phone calls for our guests, and we give you the number. It's 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. Joining us in Milwaukee, it's 414-227-2050. We're talking with some of the wonderful people from Irish Fest this year, which opens today on the Summerfest grounds of Milwaukee's lakefront. Liz and Yvonne Kane, who are from a village in Connemara along the west coast of Ireland, they'll be playing their fiddles there, just marvelous. Keith Finnegan is also with us, host of a daily current affairs program for Galway Bay FM Radio. He's also chief executive director for the radio station, the largest independent station in Ireland. So we'll be with you in a moment. I'm Kathleen Dunn. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. The second hour of our program today, you may remember this book from 1968. We'll speak with the author of The Population Bomb. Paul Ehrlich is president of the Center for Conservation Biology and professor of population studies at Stanford University. He and his wife have a new book, The Dominant Animal, Human Evolution and the Environment, and that's coming up, hour number two. Okay, two phone calls for all of our guests. Our number, 800-486-8655, and we start with Ed from West Dallas. Hi, Ed.
Well, Kathleen, it's great to have someone on the program that was named after James Joyce's great book, Finnegan's Wake. And, you know, next year, Kathleen and I, we're going to be leading this NPR tour to Ireland.
We've talked about it, haven't we?
And I believe, if my literary history is correct, that James Joyce's wife was from that part of the world. And I think even Joyce's mom might have been from the Galway area. So I'd like to know what type of historic markers or what's special about Joyce and Galway.
Nora Barnacle's house. We went to
Nora Barnacle's house,
yeah. It's a wonderful little house run by an absolutely charming woman who talks with you for a long time. Mm. And I'm so glad it's still there.
Yeah, but there's a wealth of... we can give you some websites, actually, that if you want to get further details on the Joyce family, you can go on to... If you go to a website, www.galwaynews.ie, and just search for Joyce within that, there is a wealth of information about the Joyce family and what the Joyce family did and the historical side of the Joyce family. And actually, Galway would be nowhere without the Joyce family.
Hmm.
And there's many other sites. Also, there's a very good site called the Galway. It's the Galway County Council, which is www.galwaycoco.ie, and they can give you details there as well.
Okay. And the first one was what? Galway News.
Galwaynews.ie. That's our own website, and you can actually do a search on that as well.
Okay.
What that incorporates is the historical manuals of the Connacht Tribune, which will be the longest running newspaper. Local newspaper in the country, in Galway, independently owned, and you can actually go back through the archives of the Connacht Tribune and find out all you want to know about the Joyce family. So,
mm-hmm.
And I disown Finnegan's Wake because I hate the song.
But it's a good name, though.
It's a great name. Thank God my father took Finnegan, or my father was called Finnegan, yeah. But we're actually, my generation, I have one cousin actually in the whole world. And I've no other cousins, uncles, aunts, nothing else. Just ourselves. Thank God for my wife, otherwise it would be a very lonely life.
No, not in Ireland it wouldn't be a lonely life. That's one of the charms of the country.
But Irish families are known for their size.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I've one cousin that's based down in Florida.
Six of us.
Yeah, we've nobody else, not on any side.
Hmm.
On my mom's side, or indeed on my dad's side.
Hmm.
So there's just
that's
the three
amazing.
Of us. Yeah, three brothers.
Hmm.
And there was four of us, and I lost a brother tragically about 20 years ago.
Oh.
And so there's three of us and our wives and families, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
So we need the Milwaukee people to come to Galway.
Okay.
We need entertainment.
And you're looking for some relatives at Irish Fest, right? You'd like to have them. Maybe there's some you don't know about.
We need loads of relatives at Irish Fest, but they're not my relatives. After a couple of pints of Miller, they become our, yeah. They really do. We welcome everybody, though, to Irish Fest, Kathleen. We really do. It's just a tremendous event.
Yeah, it is. What about literature? Does literature inspire your fiddle playing at all? Are there certain books you've read, be it by Joyce or by whoever, poetry that you've read that really inspires you to do songs?
Not really, no. Not really. No, just certain circumstances and situations inspire us. Well, for me to write music, you know, if we say after my grandfather passing away, I was really sad, so I decided to write a tune and dedicate it to him. Looking out my garden window one day, certain nature, I saw three beautiful deer and a hare, and I wrote a tune for that. So certain situations like inspire us.
I would think that the new generation, Kathleen, the new Irish generation, we call them the Celtic Cubs now, the girls that fit the Celtic Cubs status, which would be, they wouldn't remember the bad times of the 80s when a lot of people left and came to America
mm-hmm.
and settled here in Milwaukee and Chicago. So the Celtic Cubs wouldn't remember that. But a lot of the Celtic Cubs wouldn't have any interest in history and the historical part of Ireland. And ironically enough, when I come to Milwaukee every year, I learn something new every year about Ireland. Mm-hmm. Jane Anderson is just a wealth of knowledge, and the people that she surrounds herself with. I mean, they've got people in from the north of Ireland this year, and that people that I would never have met, which is very sad to say that I wouldn't go to the north of Ireland for no other reason than just time. We can be in Milwaukee to celebrate Ireland, but we don't go to Belfast, we don't go to Dublin. So we come over here. We actually learn by coming here.
Oh, do you?
We learn a lot by coming here.
Yeah. You know, I was amazed, though, even though there's an agreement now in Northern Ireland and things are different, I was amazed how many, we were in Belfast as well, how a few people,
now.
It is a fabulous city, go from Northern Ireland to the south and vice versa. There's still a divide, isn't there?
There isn't. There's a divide because the north is still Stirling and the south is Euro.
Mm-hmm.
There's that divide there, but there is no political divide currently, which is lovely to see, because I know growing up in the 60s, I'm 46, born in 62, and I never remember peace in the north of Ireland because it had just started around then.
Mm.
And every time you turn on the radio then, so many other people were killed in the north of Ireland.
Yeah.
This weekend, we have to remember the Omagh bombing and what happened there and all the people that lost their lives. But there is peace and there isn't that much of a divide. There's still factions, like any organisation, like any city. But there's still a lot of cooperation between the north and south. And I hope that the next generation, I think, will bring a new life to the north of Ireland. I was in Belfast a few weeks ago as well, and I was stunned by the beauty of the city. But there's still a little bit of hardship there. And we just, a lot went on there, Kathleen, in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And I grew up with that. And it's very sad for those that lost their lives. And you can only just imagine the families of those that lost their lives, how they feel.
Mm-hmm.
But the OMA celebration at Irish Fest this weekend is going to remember 10 years. And I remember that bomb going off. And I remember being in the MAC reception. And I remember Minister Sheila de Valera being with us. She was the travelling governor at the time, who travelled with us, your equivalent to your governor. And I remember breaking the news to her that the bomb had gone off in OMA. And I remember the hair standing, and now it is standing in the studio on the back of my neck.
Yeah.
And I remember the emotions going through. And those people lived through that.
Yeah.
They lost so many.
Yeah.
And having lost a brother 20 years ago, I know what the sense of loss of one is.
Mm-hmm.
So can you imagine the sense of loss of thousands?
I know.
So divide, I don't know. Maybe I'm just seeing it through rose-tinted glasses. And maybe I'm calling it wrong here this morning, but I don't think it's that bad at this stage.
Yeah. No, compared to what it was, it probably isn't. Did you have to report on that too?
Yeah.
You did.
I went to OMA. We left here on the Saturday. We left here on the Monday, rather, and I flew into Dublin and I went straight to OMA when that bomb went off. And I just, because we had great friends in OMA, and I just, the hurt is still there for me, and I lost nobody that I knew. So you can only imagine the hurt that's there for them.
Right.
And I will always remember Milwaukee for that. Sitting in the MAC, I was about to have a burger. And the news came in, and there was no mobile phones at the time. You didn't use your mobile phone in the States. So I had to go to the minister at the time and say, listen, there's been a problem. You got to go home. And she contacted Dublin, and that was it. But I went straight to OMA then from there, and it was just carnage. But it was the big carnage in the north of Ireland. But there were so many smaller carnages that affected as many people, if not more people. And it's just so sad that that happened. But we've got peace.
Right.
We've got peace,
right.
And that's what's vitally important.
Right.
And America and President Clinton played a vital role in giving Ireland what we have today. Because, Kathleen, sorry to hog it now, but without that
peace, right.
Without the peace which ye helped to get us, we wouldn't have the Celtic Tiger and they wouldn't be the Celtic Cubs.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I'm kind of the older Celtic Cub. So we wouldn't have that. So we have so much to be grateful for.
Right. It is amazing, though, isn't it? In a country that's filled with so much music and joy and hospitality, it still is this amazingly hospitable country, that there has been this history of such enormous sadness. Enormous sadness.
Yeah. Yeah. Nobody else can answer that by saying except yes.
Mm-hmm.
But we always pulled ourselves out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And in the 80s, I spoke about the 80s earlier, there was 36 people in my class in Galway. And out of the 36 who graduated from the school that I was in, there was only two of us have lived and worked all our lives in Galway. Only two out of 36. The rest emigrated. And the rest have an awful
really?
Lot.
Really?
Yeah. They went to the UK. They went to some of them went to Germany at the time. Germany was hip at the time. And the majority of them came to the United States. They settled in Boston, Chicago. And a lot of those people, my generation, 46-year-olds, are still not legal in the States here, Kathleen, which is it's sad, but a lot of them left. So you just find yourselves... Then you have a changing Ireland. You know, you really have a changing Ireland. But it's a vibe. I don't want to portray Ireland now as being a downtrodden place. It's not. It's very vibrant. We live there. We love it.
It's very vibrant.
It's fantastic. Yeah. But without a lot of people, Ireland that we have today would not be the Ireland that my kids would be growing up in. Mm-hmm. Because what we had, we got married in 86, Joan and I, and it was tough times then, 86, mm-hmm. 87, 88, into 1992, it started to turn a corner. But up to that, you wouldn't eat out. You just didn't mm-hmm. have money. Mm-hmm. You just didn't. Right. When you were, when the girls' that. Parents are, oh, were growing up...
We didn't know anything didn't, about eating
nothing,
that.
Nothing.
No. Really?
Nothing.
No, absolutely not.
We had a conversation last week on the radio about seven jeans. These new seven for all mankind jeans are real expensive jeans. But I remember growing up, we had one pair of pants that my older brother had then passed down to me. Yeah. My parents had a second
same
pair of
same as that.
Yeah. And, and that's the way we were brought up.
Yeah.
Of course, now we go to the wardrobe, if you don't have three pairs of seven for all mankind jeans, what the hell, you know, you're living in poverty.
I know, it's true.
But this is the Ireland that we're living in now.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you ever been tempted to leave or not? Is Ireland a place that you think you'll live your lives?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Really?
I've built a house in Letterfrack and Yvonne's got planning and hopes to start soon. Oh no, we're not going anywhere. We're there. No, we none of our family did. Our sister, all right, she's married in Vancouver and she lives there. Apart from that, of our generation, and you know,
she's looking to move home though.
Yeah,
is she really?
Yeah, she misses home. She misses home. We miss her.
It is lovely to go away, and the girls now are on a tour, and I can see the hankering. You're flying home on Monday.
Yeah.
And I can see the hankering to get home. They've been on such a long tour now. They've been away from Letterfrack. They've been living out of a suitcase. And it's lovely to leave Ireland, but it's
it
lovely.
Really is, yeah.
It's lovely to touch down in Shannon.
Absolutely.
And just to smell.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Can I say cow dung on air?
It's all right.
Do you know what cow dung is? Cow pat?
Yes.
Yeah. That's what you smell when you come out the gates.
Yeah. Just the fresh air.
The fresh air and the cow pat. And you say, oh, I'm home. Mm. And then you drive on the right hand side of the road and nearly write your wife's car off.
And for me, it's the sheep. I just love those sheep. Just love to go through the areas where the sheep are.
Yeah, now Minister O'Queeve, actually, who's the minister who's travelling with us, out where the girls are from in Letterfrack, wants the farmers to take the sheep off the mountain for 3 months of the year. But anyway, I don't know if that's going to work. But
really? Why?
He wants the ground to replenish itself because it's a very scenic area now. But what do you say to the sheep? Come on indoors, lads, for 3 months.
Yeah, then well, it's quite dangerous coming through the Aina Valley with sheep on the road. It has caused.
Yeah. Yes, it is. Yeah.
And they've been knocked down as well, which is
an awful lot of deer around Connemara.
Huge amount of deer.
Yeah.
Did you do Connemara when you were over?
Oh, yeah.
Fabulous area.
Did, yeah.
That's
beautiful.
In Galway now as
beautiful.
Well. We're featuring that at the showcase as well.
Great.
It's fabulous.
Oh, I can't wait to go. I feel like turning off the radio. Let's just go over. Let's go to another phone call. Thanks, Ed, very much for the call. We have talked about taking a tour, an NPR tour with listeners to Ireland, which I think would be a terrific idea. So call us and say you think it'd be a terrific idea, and we'll go next year. What do you say? Thanks, Ed. John is next from Milwaukee. Hi, John.
Hello.
Hello, John.
Yes, I'm here.
So are we. Go right ahead.
I had to perform at the Galway Festival about 2-3 weeks ago.
Oh.
And I got called at the last minute to go over and sub for an actor who was sick. And I'd never been to Ireland. And I found that Galway, an utterly charming place filled with really, really nice people.
Who are you performing with, John?
I was Northlight Theatre.
Oh,
John
yes.
Mahoney.
You were in that, were you?
Pardon?
Were you in that?
Yeah.
Oh,
really?
There was an actor named Mike Nussbaum who did it in Chicago, and he got sick right before the, yeah.
Were you the chastened husband? Were you the...
Yes, I was the ex-husband, the old guy.
You are one of the...
Oh, my.
You are one of the... sorry, Kathleen.
Yeah, no.
You are one of the finest people I've come across. It was the hit of the festival. Paul Fahey is actually with us. You should pop down to Irish Fest. You were a star. This man is absolutely brilliant. This performance has John Mahoney in it. It's just classic. I am so thrilled that I was trying to get you on the radio in Ireland, failed to do so because you were too busy. And now I'm talking to you on NPR in Milwaukee.
The people were utterly charming, and I mean, I was there under some trying circumstances, but it turned out quite well in the end. But everybody just treated me so well, and they were so nice and kind. And I just wanted to let you know that. And Lord knows, I fairly sure you'll get a reciprocal treatment here.
We've always got a job, but I have to say, Kathleen, if you get to see this, it is absolutely brilliant.
I know, it was all over the place. It was a huge hit there.
And I am so thrilled. Ah. That's made my morning now, so.
How did they find you, John?
The play was done this last spring down in Chicago. It's a world premiere by Larry Gelbart, the guy who did Tootsie and MASH and all that stuff.
Uh-huh.
And they wanted somebody to back up Mahoney and Nussbaum because Mahoney's 67 and Nussbaum was 85 years old. And they asked me to do it, and I had to do it once during the run in Chicago. And then they got invited to the Galway Festival, and the people who ran the theater said, well, we'd love to have you, but we can't because of the budget. And I said, great, I understand. Good luck. I'll see you later. And then about 3 or 4 days before they were supposed to leave to fly in the middle of July, the director called me and said, what are you doing next week? Because Mike's come down with an illness, and we need you.
Oh, so my goodness.
It was. I don't know, did they tell you at the time, because we don't like to fatten people's heads any more than they may have it already, but it was the hit of the festival.
Really?
And John, I'd love to meet, if you're in Irish Festival, you look me up, where I'm here, there and everywhere, but they will find us, and I'd love to shake your hand and buy you a coffee, because you actually made the festival for me this year.
Oh, well,
thank you. I think my wife and I are going to be down there tomorrow night.
We'll be keeping an eye out. We'll be keeping an eye out, and can't miss him. Tall man.
Huh. Oh, thank you so much for calling.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thank you. Isn't that something? This world is a tiny place. A tiny place. Our number is 800-486-8655. Would you play us another tune? Tell us what it is, and then we have to pause for a moment. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm going to play three reels for you. The first two were written by the man I was talking about, Paddy Fahey, and we'll finish with the third tune that was written by Ed Reavy, and it's called The Wild Swans at Cool. Thank you.
Yay, wonderful. And you smile when you're playing too. You must feel it inside yourself that it makes you happy to play, doesn't it?
It does, really, yeah.
Yeah. We're going to pause for a moment. We'll return and welcome our phone calls if you'd like to join us. Today is the opening day of Irish Fest on the Summerfest grounds at Milwaukee's Lakefront. It's the 28th year. It is a wildly successful festival, the largest Irish music festival in the whole world. And it's featuring Galway this year. There will be a lot of musicians. All the musicians from the west coast of Ireland are going to be in Milwaukee this weekend. Mm-hmm. And there will be a Galway cultural village and, so much going on. So we invite you to attend and happy to have our guests with us. Keith Finnegan is host of a daily current affairs program for Galway Bay FM Radio. He is also chief executive director for Galway Bay. Liz and Yvonne Kane are wonderful fiddlers. They are from a village in Connemara along the west coast of Ireland. And have, what's your latest name of your latest album?
The latest one is called Under the Diamond. The first one's called The Well-Tempered Bow.
The Well-Tempered Bow.
Yeah. Okay. The Well-Tempered Bow.
Well-tempered bow. All right. Well, welcome more phone calls, too, if you'd like to join us. Our number is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. If you're in Milwaukee, it's 414-227-2050. If you're joining us in Milwaukee, 414-227-2050. I'm Kathleen Dunn. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. In the news from National Public Radio at 10 o'clock, we'll be talking about the modern environmental movement. You'll recall this is a very famous name in environmental history. Paul Ehrlich wrote The Population Bomb in 1968. And Paul and his wife have a new book, The Dominant Animal. It looks at our future on the planet as evidence mounts that the population bomb may have come off. The Dominant Animal, Human Evolution and the Environment is the name of their brand new book, and we will talk about it after 10 o'clock today. Our phone number, 800-486-8655, and we go to Michael next from Door County. Hi, Michael.
Yes, hello. A few years ago, I had the privilege, while backpacking Scandinavia, to go to the Skagen Folk Music Festival. It actually kind of happened by accident. But I was wondering if there was any representation of Irish culture there.
Not that I know of, to be quite honest, Michael. It's the first time I've heard of the festival as well, and the girls are looking...
I've heard of the festival,
have you been there before?
No, I don't think we've played at the festival.
No, Michael, you'll have to get his representation over there.
All right, Michael, get him over there.
Yeah, it would be great, because it was an incredible festival, and there were people from all over the world. But some of the best music I've ever heard.
Hmm. Are you coming to Irish Fest, Michael?
Probably not. I'm from Door County, and I'm trying to get moved to Milwaukee, so it's been a little bit hectic lately. If I'm going to be in the area, I'll certainly be there.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks very much.
Thank you so much.
Thanks very much for the call. We should talk about some of the other... We have wonderful music. We have people... speaking Gaelic, do we have theater going on too in this Galway area at Irish Fest?
There's a small theater performance down the cultural area. Yeah, it is. There's something for everyone, Kathleen. You know, the Saw Doctors. Don't know if you ever heard of the Saw Doctors from Galway as well. They're real heroes out of Galway. They will be rocking the place.
Yeah.
Tonight.
What are they called?
The Saw Doctors.
The Saw Doctors.
Yeah. There's a song called the N17. Which a lot of people
know.
Yeah. And it's a great song. I wish I was on the N17. So they're performing as well. So they're going to rock the place. Really and truly, there's something for everybody. There's theatre, there's art, there's culture, there's tourism information. I was actually reading the Milwaukee Sentinel this morning, and I see you can get flights for $175 one way from Chicago.
No.
$175. Yeah. And we paid over, we paid nearly €1,000. To come over.
Yeah.
1,000 euro. So there's once, yeah.
Which
I wish listeners you could see Kathleen's mouth. It's open.
Which airline? I know everyone's
Yeah, really? What airline?
It's Aer Lingus. Aer Lingus.
Really? No.
Wow. Yeah, they're selling them at the festival for $175. Oh. Yeah. I don't know, is that one way? Or I take it as one way, but even $350 return, it's still very good value. We paid €1,000 each to come over here.
Yeah.
That's what it cost us, and we came with Aer Lingus. And wonderful carriers in that, but. That's what you can get. So if you go to Milwaukee Fest, you could actually, if you did, you wanted to plan a trip, you can buy your tickets, you can book your accommodation, you can meet the Tourism Ireland people. There's a lady called Anne Melia there who can get you the best bargains going, and she could plan your route for you.
That's great.
She could tell you where to go. She can do all of that.
Yeah,
and
that's
if you
great.
Bring your tour, this is a promise now. If you bring an NPR tour to Ireland and you put Galway on the itinerary, we'll host a reception for you in our home. And we can have the peat fires, you can have the stream out the back, you can have the sheep. We have sheep in the back garden. Stream. He has to come.
John has to come. Oh, we're on our way.
We insist. But for 35, 40 people, we'll host a reception in our house. The girls might come play a tune.
We're 50 miles away.
We'll have the peat. We only burn peat and turf in our home. As the girls would. That's tradition here in Ireland. It's tradition. So we can do all of that for you, and you can have a real. And this is no Irish plumos now. This is no messing. We would welcome you. So if you put the tour together, there you have it. And
thank
you go down, you buy your tickets, to 175. And away
make
you go.
A trip out to Letterfrack then to see us.
Letterfrack.
Oh, we'd love to do
freeze
that.
Freeze spare bedrooms.
There thank you.
Secret. There's
you know?
Nothing like the chowder in diamonds in Letterfrack.
This is a way we had somebody call and invite us to the Dubuque caucus for the presidential campaign, and it turned out to be a very big thing, and we went just because somebody invited us. So now you've invited us, and it seems to me as though we'll probably go. Because that's how things happen here, right?
It's not diamonds. It's about, what was the name?
Veldins.
They won't talk to me now again. He'll be ringing me saying, you said in Milwaukee it was diamonds. It's not. Diamonds is further out.
Veldins
for the best chowder. And then in town, there's some wonderful restaurants in Galway City as well, by the way.
We'll be there. We're on it. We're on the case. Yeah. John from Milwaukee. Hi.
It's our election year this year, Kathleen, and shortly before his death, President Kennedy made a pretty famous trip to Ireland in May of 63, and I'd just like to know if the Irish hold him in high esteem still.
John, I can tell you the highest. I was very young at the time, but I still remember my parents leaving to go into Eyre Square in Galway City to meet President Kennedy. And the then Mayor Paddy Ryan actually brought President Kennedy out of the cavalcade in College Road in Galway in to visit his ageing mom. And Paddy died a few years ago, unfortunately, and we went through all his memoirs on the radio about this. And President John F. Kennedy, and indeed all of the Kennedy family, are still held in very high esteem. When I go to Boston, I pop into Senator Kennedy. Sounds very formal, but he's such a good friend to Galway. Pop into Senator Kennedy. I spoke to him since his ill health, and he's a very, very, very good supporter. And all of the Kennedy family are of Galway.
And there are some famous stories of his speaking there, some very humorous incidents. We won't have time. Do you remember that story? What's the story of the peat that was... I'll have to remember it.
I just know one of a photographer who passed by all the special branch men and said, hang on a second, President, when you get back into the car there, I want you to take a photograph. The special branch guys couldn't talk fast enough, up their elbows, breaker, and confused and confounded security, a fellow called Stan Shields. And that photograph is on the website. You can get that on the Connacht Tribune, www.galwaynews.ie website. And there's a wealth there for them. But the Kennedys, for John's question, are held in very high esteem.
Yeah. And what about all the political involvement among the Irish? They're all over, you know, the mayor, they're in the Senate, they're governors, they're mayors of the city of Milwaukee. Why are they so involved politically, do you think, Keith?
Because the Irish are very determined, Kathleen. I mean, with a name like Kathleen, you're determined. You wouldn't be where you are today without having determination. The Irish are determined. These girls are doing what they do because they're determined.
Sure they are.
We're hungry. And we're not afraid to work, and we're afraid not afraid to get out there. And that's why, I mean, you've got the mayor of Milwaukee, who's a great guy, Tom Barrett, great friend to Galway. You've got Richard Daley. You've got the mayor of Boston, Tomás Menino, who was a great friend to Galway. So, yeah, there's great contacts out there. And just Michael Murphy, born in Dublin. He's your alderman here in Milwaukee, hosting a reception tomorrow. Another young guy who's done very well in politics here.
Mm-hmm.
It's just we're hungry and we're not afraid to work. And I'm not saying that the Americans are, by the way, but we're not afraid to get up and get out and get at it. We're here in Milwaukee. We travel the length of the world publicising Galway. That's what we're good at.
And you're not bad talkers.
But did you ever meet a bad Irishman that couldn't talk?
Take us out with a song, will you, please?
Absolutely. Yeah, we'll play a hornpipe, two hornpipes for you. The first one's
great.
Called Paddy Fahy's again, and the second one's called Galway Bay.
Okay. Thank you. And I'm afraid I have to talk over this. I'm sorry because we're out of time, but please keep playing. Thank you so much, all of you, for being there. We look forward to seeing you at Irish Fest, and we invite the audience to a wonderful experience. If you've never been there, you simply have to go. Liz and Yvonne Kane will be playing. Keith Finnegan from Galway Bay FM Radio with us. Thanks to Rhonda Fanning for producing the program, John Treader for on-air production, and thanks for being
thanks
here. This is the Ideas Network.